Never will I arrive, never will I come to a place that I don't need to grow anymore, but I will constantly, from this day forward, be in a constant state of change and growth in my relationship with God. And so we're talking about being made for more. We're talking about not being satisfied with maintaining. I watch people that they go into maintain mode. They just start, well, I'm just going to maintain. I'm doing good. Everything's going well. We're just going to maintain what we've got. The problem with maintaining is it's like if you climbed into the Calcasieu River out here. You're just going to go with the flow. If you just climb in and you sit in the boat, you know, we're just going to maintain. We're going to keep the boat safe. We're going to keep everything good. We're going to make sure the water stays out of the boat. It's not going to be long before you're going to find yourself somewhere out in the Gulf. Heard about two fishermen the other day that they were out in the Mexico part of the down further south of the Gulf, and they got caught in a jet stream and pulled out, and I believe they were out there for several months. And one of them survived. If you're not going against the flow, you're being pulled with the flow. If you're just going to maintain, if you're just going to sit in the boat, make sure everything stays all right, there's no telling where you're going to end up. But when you make up your mind, I'm not maintaining, but I'm going to where God wants me to be. I'm going against the flow. I'm going against everything that this world says is right, that I'm going to be what God wants me to be. That's where we've got to be in Jesus' name. So this morning, I'd like to read from Habakkuk, the second chapter. The second verse. Said, and the Lord answered and sent unto me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Everybody say, write the vision. Make it plain. That he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Lord Jesus, we ask you this morning that your anointing would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would anoint my lips of clay, that you would anoint our ears to hear, that your spirit would move and flow in this Sunday school class this morning. Lord, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. He says that you've got to write the vision and you've got to make it plain. That if you're ever going to get to where you're going, you've got to know where you're at, you've got to know where you're going, and you have to have a pretty good idea of how you're going to get there. There's something about it that if you're ever going to get to where you're going, we've talked about it a few weeks ago, you've got to be self-motivated. I found that people that have to have other people constantly pushing, constantly cheering them on, constantly trying to get them to go, constantly trying to get them motivated, constantly, they're just in it for the least amount of what they have to do. I'll be involved, I'll be a part of it, but I'm just in it for the least amount that I have to do. I'm not interested in going above and beyond. I'm not interested in going any further than where I am. I'm just interested in what I'm doing. I'm just interested in just doing the bare minimum. Somewhere along the way, you look at the disciples, Jesus was having to push and prod and motivate and talk to them and challenge them. But somewhere along the way, they found an inner motivation for themselves. When the entire Roman Empire came against them, there was something inside of them that said, I'm still going to live for God. When they were threatened with death, when they were threatened with all kinds of other things, there was something inside of them that said, I'm still going to live for God. They found a motivation that wasn't just something that was there because somebody was helping them along. They found a motivation from inside that they made up their mind that I'm going to do it for myself. You find people that are really fit. You find people that are in shape. You find people that go to the gym all the time and they work out and they're in good shape and they run marathons and most of them at one time started with a partner. Most of them started with somebody that was helping, that was motivating them. Hey, let's go on Tuesday. We're going to work out on Tuesday. Let's do it. And finally, there came a day that one of them started really getting into it, and the other one didn't change a whole lot. The other one was, well, I'm going to miss Tuesday. I got something going on. I'm going to miss Wednesday. I got something going on. I'll meet you there Thursday. Well, now Thursday, one of them's working out one muscle and the other one's still working out on the muscle he's supposed to have been working out on Monday. And finally, the one that's finally gotten dedicated says, you know what? I don't need a partner anymore. I'm just making up my mind. I'm going to show up whether anybody shows up with me. I'm going to get on my bike and I'm going to ride 15 miles whether anybody rides with me. Now, I don't understand that. I know there's some of the young guys around here buying bikes. I don't get that. That's just, whoo. And so they're getting bikes and they're getting set to roll and they're going. And so they're ready to do it. And so you somewhere along the way, you've got to make up your mind that I'm going to do it whether I'm motivated by anybody else or not, that I'm going to do it because I want to do it because this is what I need to do. You've got to have a vision. You've got to understand where you're going. You've got to understand what you're doing. You've got to have it mapped out and figured out. The word vision simply means a divine perspective of your purpose. That you've got to have a divine perspective of what God's purpose is in your life. Where is it that I'm going? What is it that God wants to do in my life? What is it that God is trying to do in my life? When you can get a picture of God's future for your life, it will energize you and it will help you to achieve your very best. We're going to talk more about it in the second service about how about your vision. But in order for you to get from where you are to where you're going, you've got to have a vision of where you want to be. You can't just show up one day. We talked about it that if time was a heal all, if time did all, if time advanced us in the kingdom, then there we would have some that you'd be walking on water today. But time isn't what keeps us. It's our desire inside of us that we make up our mind that I'm going to live for God. That not only am I going to live for God, that I'm going to advance in God. Not only am I going to advance in God, I'm going to experience new things in God, that I'm not satisfied with the relationship that I had 6 years ago. I want a new and fresh anointing. I want a new and fresh relationship. The same desire that got Israel out of Egypt wasn't enough to get Israel into the promised land. Does that make sense? Their desire to get out was still not enough for their desire. There's somewhere along the way, I might have the desire to get out of the problem where I'm at, but somewhere along the way, I've got to make up my mind. I want a greater desire because I don't want to just get out of my problem. I want to excel and I want to achieve and I want to have victory in my life. The first step is that you've got to begin to create good habits in your life. I know people that I'm going to start living for God. The problem is they've got habits, and Satan doesn't even have to tempt them anymore. There's some of you, brother Smith said it Wednesday night. We blame the devil for a whole lot more things than that's what he said. That's why he's so mad. He gets blamed for everything, and a lot of it he doesn't even have to do anything to some of us anymore. It's just who we are. It's what we do. It's when we leave this place. It's what we do before we get home. It's what we do when we wake up tomorrow. It's what we do on the weekends. It's what we do when we get around certain people. He doesn't even have to tempt us anymore. We have habits that we just, that's who we are now. That's what we do. That's what happens. And so we've got to understand that there are some things that happens in our lives that Satan has nothing to do with anymore. They're our problem. We're the one that's created it, and we're going to have to break those habits. We're going to have to make up our minds that I've got to change these habits in my life. I've got to change these habits that are going on in my life. And so there's something about it when you begin to make up your mind that I'm going to begin to focus on my habits. Habits will either be the best of servants or the worst of masters. Habits will, you says, it will, we will first make our habits, and then our habits will make us. Then if we're not careful, these silly little habits that we have will be our masters. I've never been able to get smoking cigarettes. And if you'd like to smoke, I fully understand that. You know, there's people that love it. But I've never desired to have an addiction where I had to stand outside in the freezing cold underneath an awning with rain falling down. We'd have in between classes in college, you'd walk between the classes and there'd be 100 kids lined up outside underneath of the little roof, rain pouring down right in front of them. They're doing everything they can to try to keep that cigarette lit with the rain falling right in front of them. It's not long before, if we're not careful, those habits will control us. We have to plan our day around our habits. We have to plan our day around the things that are going on in our lives. We have to plan what's happening in our lives around the habits that we have. Instead of, we've got to understand that we've got to make up our minds that we've got to reach for our goals. In order for us to reach for our goals, there's not any super pill that's going to change who we are. We talked about it before. You know, we come down, we get the Holy Ghost, and we're like, "Woo! All right, I'm Superman now." No, you're not. Problem is I've seen people that have walked to an altar with habits. They've gotten up, God's filled them full of the Holy Ghost, and they have left and never done that ever again. But for most of us, we have the Holy Ghost now. We have the strength to overcome, but now we've got to begin to make some victories on our own. Does that make sense? We've got to begin to decide on our own that, you know what, I've got to get over this. I've got to change. And so a super pill would be nice. Woo, I'm great. I'm good now. I'm the perfect Christian. But that's not the way that it works. And it takes baby steps. We get frustrated because we know that we should be over there and we should be doing a long jump. I was reading about lions last night, and a lion can jump 30 feet in one bound. We can't do that, folks. And the heavier we are, the older we are, the less further we can jump, all right? You've got to understand that we get frustrated because I'm not yet over there, because I can't jump 30 feet in one bound. Somewhere along the way, we've got to understand that it's not about the 30 feet bound. It's about, all right, I'm working on this habit today. I'm working on this. You've got to understand that there are moments and times in your life that it's okay to take baby steps, and Satan will beat you up because you're not making leaps and bounds. You've got to understand you didn't get to where you were overnight, and you're not going to change overnight, but you are going to change. And it's okay to be taking baby steps. It's okay to be saying, you know what, I'm going to do this. And the way that you do that is by changing your habits. And the only way that you can change your habits is by baby steps. You've got to begin to make up your mind. You know what? I'm changing. I'm changing the way that I think. I'm changing what happens. I'm changing what controls me. I'm changing what happens in my life. Goals without habits are like a car with no tires. The engine may fire, but unless the rubber meets the road, the vehicle will never move forward. You've got to understand that it doesn't matter how bad you want to live for God. It doesn't matter how bad you want to be what God wants you to be. If you're not willing to begin to change the habits in your life, you're going to be frustrated for a very, very long time. And eventually you'll get so frustrated, you'll backslide and just give up and quit. And it had nothing to do with God's power to change you. It had nothing to do with God's ability to change you. It had nothing to do with God's love or God's purpose for your life. It had everything to do with us refusing to take the baby steps that we have to take to change, to become more like Him. Little and often makes much. It doesn't matter if it might be little, and it doesn't matter if it might not be that big, but if you do little and often, you're eventually going to get there. We've all heard the story of the tortoise and the hare. And the hare, he'd run real fast, and then he'd get distracted, and that tortoise just keep on keeping on. You just got to keep on keeping on. You mess up, you slip, you fall, you get back up, and you just got to keep on keeping on. You just got to keep making up your mind that I'm going to keep living for God. You got to make up your mind that I'm not stopping, I'm not giving up, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'm just going to keep living for God. I'm just going to keep being what God wants me to be. And the thing is you think that you're making baby steps. But as you begin to move, you begin to pick up momentum. Momentum is hard to get, and momentum is even harder to keep. And every time you start getting momentum and you stop, is that much harder to try to get that momentum going again. I was driving down the road one day, and this elderly lady's car had stalled out in the middle of a really busy intersection. And so a couple of us, we pulled over and jumped out of the cars, and we ran over and grabbed this huge Lincoln Continental, and so here we go. The problem is it's on an uphill slant. And it took a little while to get that thing moving. We had all these grown men, veins popping out of our necks and heads, and we're doing everything we can to get our bellies behind this thing and get this thing rolling, and finally it gets to moving. And we're not moving real fast, but we're moving. We didn't go real far. We're not breaking any land speed. There's no records being made, but we're moving. You've got to understand that once you get something going, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't cause you stumble and fall. Get back up and stay in that momentum. So many people, they'll be doing good. They'll be living for God. They'll be going to church, and they'll stumble and fall flat on their face. And what do? They sit out for 3 weeks. The devil tells them that you can't go to church. You need to go on break for a little while and let it blow over and see how you feel, and then you can come back later. That's not what you do. That's how you lose momentum. You roll with it. You get back up and say, you know what? Here we go again. I'm still moving. I'm still going. I'm gaining momentum. I might not be moving real fast, but you know what? There's coming a day. I might just be taking baby steps, but there's going to be a day that I begin to run. But it starts with your habits. If you look at your life today and you say, what is it that is keeping me in my life? What habits are hindering me from becoming more like Him? It might be how much entertainment you watch every week. It might be how much you, all the things that you do. It might be the things that you think about. It might be the people that you talk to. I know some people that they're going to talk to the same people every day just out of habit. And they're going to talk about the same problems, the same junk, and the same stuff. And they get a little momentum on a Sunday, and by Monday they're all wore out and tired again because they've been filled full of a bunch of junk. You've got to understand that you've got to begin to look at the habits that are in your life and begin to change those habits. If you've got negative habits in your life, if you've got habits that are dragging you down, we always like, well, it's not a sin. The scripture says every weight and every sin that what so easily besets us. It might not be a sin, but it has the exact same effect as a sin. Oh, it's not a sin. I always like that. No, it's not a sin. This is just what I do. It's not that big a deal. The problem is it has the exact same ending results as a sin. So right now you might not be, God might not be judging you for it. The problem is not just because you're not being judged for it doesn't mean that you're not still going to be lost over it. So we've got to understand that if it's hindering me, if it's slowing me down, that I've got to begin to change my strategy. I've got to understand that I've got to get a new strategy. I've got to begin to think about it a little bit different. I've got to begin to make a conscious effort. If you're going to change, it's not going to be by accident. It's going to be because you have constantly made an effort that I'm going to change my life. That I'm going to change. If you're going to quit something, you're not just going to quit it because you said you're going to quit it. I hear people, man, I'm going home. I'm going to be a better dad. What are you going to do to be a better dad? I don't know. I just made up my mind. I'm going to be a better dad. Good luck. I'm going to be a better Christian. What are you going to do to be a better Christian? I'm going to come to church. What else are you going to do? You got to get a strategy of how am I going to change? What am I going to do? I like the acronym SMART. First, S stands for specific. You've got to get specific about what you're doing. You've got to get specific about what you want to change. If it's just some big idea out there, and sometimes we've got so many problems, we're like, how am I going to change all these? Pick one that you can change the quickest. I hear people, I'm so far in debt, I can't get out of it. I was helping somebody the other day. I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to find all of the smallest debt that you have, and we're going to focus on paying off those first, and then we'll move on to the bigger stuff. Man, they paid off a bunch of those little debts, and they came back, and they're like, woo, man, I'm doing good. They'd gotten some momentum. They still had some pretty big debt out there, but they're excited, and now they're paying on the big debt because they've gained some momentum because they begin to attack some of the smaller things in their finances. So you've got to be specific about what you're doing. You've got to be specific about what you're changing and what you want to see. The second one is M. That's measurable. You've got to be able to measure the results. You've got to be able to measure what it is that you're doing. You've got to be able to pick something that you can see that there's a difference. You know, I've used analogies, you know, like this before. If you cuss, and I was telling somebody the other day, they said, man, I can't control my mouth. I said, you cuss a lot? He said, oh, I cuss a whole lot. I said, well, how about you put a number on how many times you cuss this week? What do you mean? I said, I'm going to only cuss 20 times on Monday. Well, that's not right. Well, you got to start somewhere. You got to do something. You got to start making a conscious effort to change this old brain that you've got. You've got to renew this mind. And the only way to renew this mind is to begin to make a conscious. Am I saying, oh, it's all right for you to say whatever you want? No, I'll be the first to tell you it's a sin and you could be lost over it. No, but somewhere you've got to begin to make up your mind. I'm taking baby steps. I got to go somewhere. I got to get out of this place. It doesn't matter if I'm barely moving, if I'm the tortoise. I've got to move on and get away from who I am and where I am. So you've got to be able to measure what you're doing, and you've got to be able to be capable of being measured. It's got to be actionable. What in the world does actionable mean? Actionable means it has to be something that you can start today. Well, if I get this right, and I get that right, and I get this fixed, and I get that fixed, and I get this changed, then 3 weeks from now, I'll be able to start this process. No. You need to find things that you can begin to change today. Things that you can put in motion. You know what? This is actionable. This is something that I can do in my life right now. And here we go. It's time to start making the move. It's something that has to be that is specific, that can be measured, and that is actionable and realistic. You've got to make sure that your goals are realistic. Oh, are you saying not to have faith? Nope. I'm saying that if you make up your mind, bless God, I'm going to pray 40 hours this week. Well, how many did you pray last week? Zero. That's not realistic. Realistic is I might get up an extra 15 minutes every morning and begin to pray and begin to say, all right, God. And you're saying, well, what do you, man, you're making this a whole lot. You're kind of watering down. I'm not watering down anything. I believe that you need to pray as much as you can pray, but you've got to start somewhere. And you've got to be able to do it, and it's got to be realistic. So many, I've seen people that are like, this week I'm going to read 18 chapters of my Bible. I'm going to pray 20 hours. I'm a witness to 47 people, and they don't do but maybe about 30 minutes of prayer and read about 3 chapters, and they say hello to the person at the convenience store, and now they're like, man, I can't live for God. I'm nothing. I'll never be anything. I'm going to be nothing. Somebody told me the other day, I said, what's your goal for this year? They said, I want to win one person to the Lord. You say, one, why not pick 20? Well, if you've never won anybody, you got to start somewhere. See, that's the deal. We've got to understand that we've got to begin to get momentum. And you don't just get momentum by jumping 30 feet like a lion, because we're not lions. We're just human beings with fault and failures, and we're weak. And so we've got to begin to say, all right, I've got to get some momentum. I've got to get going. I've got to start moving some things in my life. I've got to start changing some things in my life. And the last one is T. You've got to be able to put a timetable on. You want to put a goal on some of these things in your life. You want to put a goal on some of these things that are going on. Now, there are some things in your life, like your children being saved. You can't put a timetable on some of that. That's in God's hands, okay? There are some things in your life, there are some miracles that you can't put a timetable on. Bless God, by this time next Easter, this is going to happen. Well, what if it's not God's timing? What if they're not ready and they come in and pray through and they're right back out in the world and backslide? I want God's timing and not my timing. So there are some things we can't put time on. But when it comes to these things that we're talking about today, changing habits, we've got to put a timetable on it. All right, this time next month, I'm going to be a little bit further along than I am right now. This time next month, I'm going to be a little bit further along than I am right now. I'm going to begin to do things that change my life, that begin to change the habits that I have. State exactly what you will do. Be sure that it can be objectively measured. Begin your statement with a verb and check to see that it is achievable and set a deadline. I want a better marriage. All right. What are you going to do about a better marriage? Well, I don't know. Well, how about you start by taking care of your family? How about you start by, I'm going to spend more time at home with my wife. You've got to start making things and being objective about how you're going to make your marriage better, how you're going to make your relationship with your children better. Well, every time I get around them, they do something and I just get mad. Well, if that relationship's going to be better, you've got to start making baby steps that even though if they're doing something completely ridiculous, if this relationship's going to be better, I got to bite my tongue because if we're going to do this, it's going to be up to me. I can't wait for them to do it. If I'm going to change some things in my life, if I'm going to get a closer walk with God, I can't just say that I'm going to do it. I've got to start looking for ways for that to happen in my life. Start praying, God, give me direction, give me wisdom. How can I have, what can I do to change? What can I do to be more like you? And begin to allow God to deal with you. Get in His presence, spend time with Him, spend time in His Word. Having a clear plan will motivate you to take action. There's something about knowing where you're going. There's something about knowing what you want to change. There's something about knowing that this is not where I want to be. I want to be over there. That when you get a good idea of where you're going, that all of a sudden there becomes some motivation. Not motivation because somebody else is helping you, but all of a sudden you begin to find something inside of you that gets excited and says, you know what? I can do this. You need to sit down with pen and paper and you need to begin to write some things down. There's something powerful about being able to see it. Not just saying it, but seeing it. That's what did the scripture that we read today say? He said, write it, make your vision, write it down and make it plain. Make it plain. Make sure that you can see, all right, this is where I'm at and this is where I'm going. This is how this relationship is right now and this is how I want it to be. Now, are they going to change? Who knows? But all that you can control is you. So if I'll change, there's a whole lot better chance it's going to get a lot better than if I'm waiting on somebody else to do all the changing. If I'll be more like Christ, if I'll begin to focus on my relationship with God, if I'll begin to make up my mind that I'm going to be what God wants me to be, then there's a good chance that everything's going to turn out all right. The next thing, and I'm hurrying to a close, is self-discipline. You've got to understand that there has to be self-discipline in your life. If you're going to take personal responsibility about what's happening in your life and changing your life, there has to be self-discipline in your life. Proverbs 25 and 28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." That if you have no rule over your own life, if there is no self-discipline, the Word of God says you're like a city with no walls. That if you have no self-discipline, that means the enemy can pretty much step into your world anytime they want to. All they've got to do is just tempt you a little bit and they just back up and you take care of everything else for them. Satan doesn't make you do anything. He just gives you a little temp, runs a little thought through your mind, creates a little scenario for you, and then the rest of it is up to us. And if we don't have self-discipline, we are like a city that the walls are broken down, and we are completely vulnerable to the enemy. We've got to accept personal responsibility for our lives. The problem is that we want to make excuses for everything that's going on. The enemy loves excuses. The enemy is empowered by excuses. You look at Saul. Saul was supposed to kill the Amalekites. When the man of God showed up, he said, he had excuses for why he did what he did. When he made the sacrifice and stood in place of Samuel and did what God called Samuel to do, when Samuel showed up, he had excuses for why he did what he did. He made so many excuses, he finally excused himself out of being the king of Israel. Somewhere along the way, we've got to understand that it's not anybody else's fault. Oh, well, you don't understand what happened to me in my childhood. You're right, I don't. I'm sorry. Whatever happened, I'm sorry. But somewhere along the way, you can't have victory while you're still blaming everybody else for all of your failures. Somewhere along the way, you got to start saying, here we go. Here we go. I'm changing habits. I'm changing things that have been instilled in me. I'm changing bad things that have been taught to me. I'm changing the idea of what life should be and what I've learned and what it was taught to me that it should be. But I've come to the realization that I'm not happy the way that life was taught to me or the way that I've created it. And so now, well, you're a failure. You didn't jump 30 feet. No, I'm not a failure. I'm moving. I'm gaining momentum. I might just be crawling today, but there's going to come a day I'm going to be running like a marathon runner, and I've got to gain momentum. I've got to start moving somewhere. We were pushing a car one day, and that thing was heavy and trying to get it out of the road. And the problem is nobody was behind the steering wheel. It took us a long time to get momentum, but when we got momentum, watch out, world, here we come. You've got to understand that it takes a while to get it, but when you start getting it, you better run and jump behind the steering wheel because there's no telling where you're going. When you begin to understand you've made it over the top of that hill and now you're headed down, here we come, world. Look out. I'm changing. I might have been crawling, but now I'm running. Now I'm sprinting. I might have been at a 1 mile an hour pace, but now we're moving on and we're gaining momentum and things are... I can't make excuses. Excuse making is the enemy of responsibility. Excuse making is the exact opposite of responsibility. Have you ever met anybody that every time something they didn't do it right, they blame it on somebody else? It's somebody else's fault. Somebody else did it. They did it. They this one, that one. The other night, Jackson shot Jace in the middle of the back with a Nerf gun. Whop! Shot him point blank range. Jackson, Jace, man, looked around, man, give that scowl. I said, you're not supposed to do that. He said, Jace, a tough baby. So when he turned around, I shot him. That's terrible planned parenting. I know. This is my first time. I'm sorry, folks. I'll do better next time. He hadn't shot him at point blank range again either, though. He hadn't shot him again, period. So baby steps. And never stop. I don't care if you make the worst decision you've ever made in your life. I don't care if you dropped a bomb in the middle of everything that's going on in your world. When the smoke clears, you crawl back to your knees and you start making up your mind, I'm going to live for God again. I'm going to come out of this. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to get momentum. I'm not going to die in this place. You can't stop. You can't afford to stop. I don't care how bad the mistake was. I don't care what happened. I don't care how catastrophic it might be. I don't care if it was the atom bomb for your marriage. When it's all said and done, you've got to say, I'm crawling back to an altar and I'm getting momentum. I'm making up my mind that I'm not stopping. I might have messed up. I might have done the worst thing that I've ever done, but I'm moving on. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep living for God. I've got to keep being what God wants me to be. I've been trying to lose weight for a long time. My habits are not that great in the weight losing department. I was at the weight losing place the other day and they walked in and apparently they might have caught me in the middle of a nap. They asked me, said, what are you doing here? And I'm just sitting on a bench and I said, man, I said, I'm to the place now where I might work out the right arm on Monday and the left arm on Tuesday. Yeah, there are guys, they go in, they do a full body workout. Man, they hit every muscle from their nose to their toes. And I'm lucky if I get 20 minutes and we got one arm. And I'm sitting there. He said, man, he said, you might as well not even come. I said, the problem is if I quit now, I don't think I'll ever come back. Can't afford to quit. Can't afford to not show up. Because I'm never going to come back if I quit. That's one thing you've got to understand. It doesn't matter how bad it is at the moment. It's not time to quit. Because if you quit, you might not ever show back up. If you quit and say, I'm going to wait for the storm to blow over, I'm going to wait for everything to leave, and then when people's attitudes change or people get a little bit more this way or people begin to see me a little different or I get things fixed, then I'll show back up. No, I got to show right back up and say, God, here I am. You've got to understand that this church loves you. This church is on your side. This church wants to see you prosper. This church wants to be a part of being with you as we dance on streets of gold together. So it doesn't mean take 6 months and come back. It means get back up and show back up, come to an altar and let somebody love you and say, we're going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, God, that you would anoint us, that you would lead us, and that you would guide us. Lord God, that we would be fed up with where we are and that we would make up our minds that it is time to begin to create some momentum in our lives. Lord God, if it's going to be, it is up to us. Oh God, it is up to us to make up our minds that we're going to change what we can change. And not only do we begin to change our habits, not only do we begin to set strategies to change these habits, not only do we become self-motivated, not only do we put self-discipline into our lives, we make up our mind that I'm never going to quit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.